Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. And it is during this month that Muslims observe the fast of Ramadan. They fast during the day, and at night they eat small meals and visit with friends and family. It is a month of worship and contemplation, a time to strengthen family and community ties. The first Muslim to arrive in the Americas that we know about was a Spanish explorer who showed up in 1527. He was part of a commission sent by the King of Spain. He traveled throughout the southern part of the United States and was probably the first European to see the territory that is now the state of New Mexico. Today, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the United States. There are over 1,200 mosques in the U.S., and more than half of them were built in the last 20 years. Over 5 million Americans worship in these mosques.
Islam and Muslims believe in the people of the book, in Judaism as the first, you might say, word of God, and then Christianity as a follow-up. But to them, Islam is the, although it's really, you might say, an extension, but it's the most correct, the final word of all prophecies. According to Muslims, Islam is the religion accepted by Allah, God. And it has five pillars. First, to witness that Allah is one, that is, Islam is a unitary religion, and Muhammad is his messenger. To pray five times a day, to fast in Ramadan, to give, and to go on al-Hajj, the pilgrim. These are the five pillars of Islam.
During Ramadan, the entire Quran is read, 1/30 each night. Mosques are designed to produce an environment that is conducive to reading, prayer, introspection, and learning. Very often you will find people sitting in quiet spots and just reading.
There are a lot of challenges right now, but America is a crucible for Islam. That is to say, all Muslims come from around the world and they bring their cultural traditions. But here, they all come together and they start to realize that their cultural traditions are not Islam. And so they come when they see an Arab, when an Indonesian sees an Arab, or a Chinese sees an Arab, or vice versa. They start to realize that many of the things that at home they had associated with Islam are actually not part of the faith. And so, in a sense, we burn all of those cultural accretions away in the process of getting down to the roots of the religion and also creating a new mode of living Islam, which is culturally relevant for people who are born in this country.
Islam is the universal religion. Though Islam appreciates the cultural disparities, and whenever Islam comes to a certain place, Islam tends not to demolish the culture. But Islam is a universal teachings. But Islam at the same time wants the Muslims to understand the realities where they live in. So that's why when the Muslims, for instance, coming from different parts of the world, and they are here in the United States, it is very important that the Muslims understand the realities where they live in. For instance, the Asian people, they have their own to dress, the Arab people, they have their own. And even Islamically speaking, it is not really desired when you dress strangely and you consider it to be Islamically. You know, coming to the to New York City, for instance, you dress Arabic dresses and then you say that it is Islamic dresses. That's really undesirable in Islam, because Islam doesn't want you to be distinctive and make the people strange. We are not living in the camel era anymore. We are in the global world, we are in the modern world, and I think we need to modernize our minds as Muslims in understanding our religions.
The fast of Ramadan is a time of worship and contemplation when Muslims say no to the desires of the flesh and yes to the word of God. It is a time to learn about self-control, not unlike the opportunities offered during the Christian period of Lent with the Jewish holiday of Passover.
According to Islam, human desires are natural, and they are not supposed to be killed, but they are supposed to be controlled. So we are the masters of our own desires. We are supposed to have control over them. So we use our desire in a way that God pleases with. We have desire to eat, to drink, and to have relationship with our opposite sex, with our wives or our husbands. But Islam teaches that we have to have control over these desires. So that's why for the one full month, Muslims are training themselves not to eat, not to drink, not to have that relationship during the daytime, in order to train themselves. And also, fasting teaches the Muslim to be more kind to others, because by abstaining from food, you can feel what the unfortunate people feel. So that's why Prophet Muhammad even called this month as the month of charity.
The daily fast is usually broken by eating 3 dates and taking a sip of water, which is how Muhammad broke his fast during the time he retreated to meditate. The date may be the world's oldest cultivated fruit. There are 7,000-year-old sculptures that clearly show the date palm. The date's been a basic part of Middle Eastern agriculture for centuries. The Arabs brought the date to Spain, and the Spanish missionaries brought them to California. As a matter of fact, the first date planted in California was planted in a town called Mecca. Dates are often called nature's candy because of their sweet taste and caramel flavor. During Ramadan, breakfast must be eaten before the day begins. The ancient test for that is your ability to distinguish between a white thread and a black thread using only natural light. If you can tell the difference, the day has begun, and so has your fast. Dedicated Muslims come to prayer 5 times each day.
Why Muslims pray 5 times a day? Why is it not only 3 times? Or 2 times, or let's say once in a week. We start our day by praying to God, by having connection with God. Noon prayer is considered to be the busiest schedule of any human beings, but still you have to find some time to pray to God. Afternoon prayer, you need to end your daily activities with a prayer, by having connection with God. And sunset prayer, it is considered to be the end of your day. So you need to have a spiritual connection with God, so you pray to Him. And the last one is before bedtime prayer. It is also, as we started our day with a prayer, we end our daily life with a prayer before we go to the bed. There is no space in our life except that we have connection with God. And this is what Islam wants us to be. In other words, I would like to say that Islam wants us to have our feet in the earth, but have our head in the heaven.
What you eat each night to break the fast of Ramadan depends on where you come from. Muslims from the Middle East serve spicy pastries filled with vegetables or meat, or a loaf of flatbread sprinkled with black cumin seeds. North African Muslims tend to eat a protein-enriched soup in order to energize their bodies after the long fast. Hamid Adrisi was born in Morocco. Today he is the co-owner and chef of Tagine, a Moroccan restaurant in New York City. As a middle child, he was assigned the task of helping the family cook. He spent hours watching and learning the delicate and complex techniques of the Moroccan kitchen. Quite often, his family would host meals for more than 100 relatives, friends, and neighbors.
My father was sort of imam, so he has a lot of people come to he was the leader of the town, and my mother always constantly cooking, and a lot of people come and help her cook, and also at the kitchen. And I found a lot of fun to see how much like activities in the kitchen and how many things they are doing. Again, when I came to the United States, it's too hard for me to adjust to American taste. So I will just get the ingredients and make Moroccan cuisine for myself.
At the pre-dawn meal, Moroccans typically eat soup and a crepe that's served with butter and honey.
In the morning before the fast began, we eat melwi. Melwi is a semolina, a bread which is pan-fried and it's kneaded for a long time, so it will be served with honey, with butter. And some people like to have like protein, they eat some leftover from tagines or so, whatever you can eat, but usually they don't eat fruits, like raw fruit at that time. They eat something, they can go back to sleep. So most likely Ismail will fill up your stomach and give you energy for a long time.
One of the fastest growing segments of the Islamic community in the United States is made up of African Americans. Yusef Salim is the imam at Mosque Mohammed in Washington, D.C.
Allahu Akbar.
He believes that African Americans are attracted to Islam because within Islamic tradition, the black community is fully accepted.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I think what happens is, I'm not going to say racism is prevalent, but that we cannot doubt the subtlety and existence of racism. And I think in coming into Islam, your identity is equal. Equal. In other words, the Quran says that God has honored all the children of Adam. So that means you're an equal par with everybody. And the exterior has no meaning, importance, except to identify. So you look a certain way, because if you look just like me, I wouldn't know you. So you look a certain way, so I'm aware of you, and you. I say I look a certain way. But this is just a shell, just a vessel to carry the real spirit and nature of me. I think that's a tune that is attractive to many African Americans. We feel a certain sense of equality, and we feel a certain amount of being legitimatized. That we're a human being with self-worth, and we can achieve just like any other ethnic group.
Every evening at sunset during Ramadan, mosques throughout the world serve meals to the hungry. They are following a commandment from God to give to the needy.
I come early so I can make them a good meal, you know, because when you come off a fast, you want to make, and that's my blessings. I get blessings for coming feeding all the hungry people that have fasted. So that's why I push myself, and I be here every day to see that they get a good meal, you know. We're having turkey, string beans, potato fluff, and fish, and pork salad, and cabbage. And my sisters, they all come in and we help. And we fasting too, but we have to cook the food without tasting it. So we just pray and hope that the food tastes good, because we can't taste.
The night of the decree celebrates the moment when Muhammad received the first revelation of the Quran. Joyous festivities begin that night and build for 3 days until the last night of the month. The next day, which is the first day of the new month, is known as Eid. It is a time to wear new clothes, eat big meals with lots of sweets, and pass the day with your family and friends. It's also a day when you're asked to donate a portion of your wealth to the needy.
Our nature is to know our God, to be more close to God, to be more righteous person. This is nature, this is the human nature, you know, to be kind to God, to be kind to other people, to be kind to our fellow human beings. So the Eid al-Fitr actually is the day of victory for the Muslims, because they consider this to be a victorious day of their human desires.
Because the Quran has not changed since the time of the Prophet, much of Ramadan's celebration has remained the same. Ramadan begins with the sighting of the new moon. One result of this approach is that you are not sure when Ramadan will begin or end until 1 or 2 days before the event. If nothing else, the process reminds you that life is controlled by nature, and flexibility and faith are essential.